Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today is November 21st, 2014, and I'm so thankful you joined us at NoBetterWay.net. My name is Rudy Zablocki, and tonight's show is titled, Thank You, Lord. And before I go any further, I'd just like to apologize for last night. There were just technical difficulties. I just wasn't able to get any sound. But anyway, we're back tonight. So today's show is titled, Thank You, Lord. And today's reflection verses are from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. With the Thanksgiving holiday fast approaching, we have so much to be thankful for. We still have our freedom to worship openly. We're blessed with much, a warm home, food on the table, our jobs to provide for our families, freedom to go about and share the gospel. We're thankful for our families and friends to have those loving relationships. But most of all, we should be thankful for the biggest treasure of all, and that's our saving faith relationship with our Savior Jesus. Amen. Right now, you may not be enjoying all the blessings I had just mentioned. You may be without a job, or you or a loved one may be ill with an illness threatening your life or a loved one's life. You might be behind on the bills. You might be behind on the mortgage and fear you might lose your home. All the worries and stress has put a real strain on your life. You're a praying person, but it seems like God's not listening. Right now, you could use a few miracles. The words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that I just read, give thanks in all circumstances. For those suffering, that's got to be pretty difficult right now. It can be hard to be thankful during hard times that we're going through. I think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing his time was short, in such agony that he sweat blood. He took up the cross because it was the Father's will. Jesus loved us so much, he drank from that bitter cup and died for our sins. He paid the price no one else could pay. As John the Baptist proclaimed in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I say to that, thank you, Jesus. Paul the Apostle, when he was in prison, possibly being sentenced to death, he was writing to the Philippians. And Paul had strong feelings of love for the church in Philippi. Paul tells of his thankfulness for the love and helpfulness of the Philippians. Before I go any further, I'd just like to recommend the book of Philippians. It will truly lift your spirit up if you're feeling down. So it's a great book of gratitude, and I'd recommend that if you're really down, that would be a great book to open the Bible and read. And so I want to read a little letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, starting Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And then I'll go down to verse 9, and Paul says, And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. You know, I read these holy words by Paul, and I just think of how these would be great words for a pastor to tell his flock. He's got this great relationship with his church, with the members of his church, and that as he has this partnership in the gospel, you know, he would say, we stand firm in one spirit as we believe in Christ. We are willing to suffer for Christ. Amen. So as Paul writes from prison, he's moved by the Holy Spirit. Regardless of his situation in prison, he may die, he may be beaten, he doesn't know for sure, but his life is in the Lord's hand. And I like the verse where he says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So no matter what, Paul was content that he'd either continue preaching the gospel or if he did die, he'd be with the Lord. So either way, he was content in his situation. And as he writes to his fellow Christians, he encourages them. He expresses his love for them, telling them how grateful he is. In Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11, he writes to them about imitating Christ's humility. Let me go. This is Philippians chapter 2, starting from verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. That's hard. I'll read that again. But in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for being so humble. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we can be so thankful for God's plan for us. I love the verse from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So, with the Lord and his holy word as our guide, we will grow in the love and knowledge of the Lord. We will seek his will, sharing the good news and loving others to Christ. As members of the body, we should be servants. Again, I'll repeat that. As members of the body, we should be servants, putting ourselves lower than others. Again, putting ourselves lower than others. This is God's word talking to us. And I also love the verse in Galatians chapter 6. Verse 2, carry each other's burdens, When we do this, we fulfill the law of Christ. As I think about the Apostle Paul and the dedication to serve the Lord, he serves as a great role model for us. He was thankful for all the church and how they were sharing in his burdens to share the gospel. I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. And that's thanking God for your gifts. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I'll read that again. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And the great verse I love, Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Amen. So as Christians, just like Paul, it's very important to have an attitude of gratitude. We need to always be thankful to the Lord and to others in our lives. I was reading the other day on the internet, and Mark Twain, the famous author, he was once paid $5 a word to write a story. And an interviewer asked him, he said, what was the most important word that you can write? And he replied simply, the word thanks. So it's truly important to thank others for all they do for you. And it's all the more important to have an attitude of gratitude towards the Lord. When we are aware of how much the Lord has blessed us, saved us, and has given us the beautiful gift of eternity, we need to say, thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's take a break. I'm going to play a song now. It's called Give Thanks, and I hope you enjoy. Okay, we're back. I hope you enjoyed. Give thanks. The Lord has done so much for all of us. I don't know where I'd be without my faith, especially going through the hard times I've gone through in the last several months. And the church and the Lord supporting me, and I'm so thankful. So I do give thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give out the number now. I'd love for you guys to call in. Maybe you have a story about something you're so thankful for. That number is 347-989-0095. And like I always say, we're all friends. So just call in and we'll just chat whatever's on your heart. 347-989-0095. Well, I've got a few stories in the Bible that I really like about people that are thankful or not thankful. And one of my favorites is the story of the 10 lepers. I'm going to read the story and then maybe we'll talk about it a little bit. This is in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. I'm sorry. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So that even Jesus asked, there were 10 lepers that Jesus healed, and only one came back to thank him, praise him. And I was thinking about that story, and isn't that how life is? You know, we have people in the world that they appreciate others, they're so thankful, and then you have so many, it could be 9 out of 10 that aren't thankful there, or if they are, very, very thankful in a small way. This story just kind of talks to my heart, and just tells me, like, you know, God does something good for you. You know, you should praise Him. Let others know about it. Tell others what God has done for you. Tell your story. So if you're out there listening right now, I want to hear your story. I want to hear you praise God for something He's done for you. Love for you to share that story. Again, 347-989-0095. Hello, welcome to NoBetterWay.net.
Hello there.
Hello, David, my son, my co-host. It's always good to hear from you. Were you able to listen to the show at all, or are you?
A little bit towards the end there. A little bit towards the end there, just about you know, how God calls us to be thankful. But he said a lot of people don't live with much thanks in their heart, and I don't know. I think that's kind of true, right? I think we just kind of take the good things for granted until we lose them a lot of times, and then when there's bad things going on, we're mad about that. So it's definitely important to be thankful. And one of those verses, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So God's will for us is to be thankful in all circumstances, and that's definitely hard, but with Jesus' help we can be, because we could always, you know, focus our hearts on the positive instead of on the negative.
And so many times we're going through a hard time, and the good Lord will bring, you know, he'll bring his people into our life to support us, to comfort us, help us, bring a meal, give us a hug. Like Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens. And when you do this, you fulfill the law of Christ. And so even like you're saying, it's hard to be thankful, but then you look back and you say, you know, what would I have done without you know, the Lord and his people helping me? So.
Yeah, I think it's all perspective a lot of times. If we're focused on Jesus and what he did for us, whatever happens in this world, we still have the blessing of eternal life with God. And I went to a funeral today for a family that went to our church for a long time. And I guess they had a saying that, you know, living for Jesus doesn't pay much, but the retirement benefits are amazing. So that kind of says a lot, that, you know, there's going to be hard times in this life, and living for Jesus, it might even bring harder times. And the reality is that we have an eternity with Christ. So, you know, this situation in my life stinks, but I'm still thankful to be alive. I'm still thankful to have family to be with me and friends to be with me while I go through this. I'm thankful. There's a lot of things to be positive about if we just think about them. I think we focus on the one thing that's going wrong instead of the 10,000 things that God blessed us with in that moment.
Yeah. But being to be thankful, like you said, even in the rough times, doesn't mean that we're not gonna weep. You know, we're not gonna mourn. We're not gonna be sad. You know, we're still going to be human, and we're going to go through our, you know, our emotions, but as we do that, we can also still be thankful to the Lord, you know, for all that he's given us, or all that he's giving to us at that time.
Yeah, and when we lose loved ones, it's one of the hardest times. And then, but Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he says, you know, it makes sense to mourn, but don't mourn as the rest of the world does, as one without hope. Because even if you lose a loved one, if they're believers in Christ, then you have that eternal hope in Jesus. So, you know, there's always something to be thinking positively about, as long as the person that passes away believes in the Lord. If not, then it really is a real sad and hopeless situation.
Yeah, like you were reading that verse, Dave, verse 18 in 1 Thessalonians. And it says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus to be, to not only to be thankful, but to pray continually and also to be joyful. So, part of it is, you know, our prayer time, you know, is prayer helping us get through, you know, the hard times, you know, do we have a heart that, you know, knowing that we're saved, do we have a joyful heart in the Lord? You know, so it's kind of like a three-part request by the Lord, right, to be joyful and to always and to pray continually, and then also, you know, what was the last, and then
thankful.
Always be giving thanks. Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Yeah. So when it says this is God's will, that means this is what he wants us to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what he wants for our lives. And I mean, I think we all know the seasons of our lives where we're grumblers, whining, complaining. And that's just not a happy time. God doesn't want this for us. God has something better for us. God says, focus your eyes on Jesus, and you'll find joy in him. And that's kind of the cool thing to realize is that our joy and thankfulness doesn't have to stem from like what's going on situationally in our life. It's based on our relationship with Him. Now, if He saves us and transforms our hearts and His Spirit dwells within us, then that opens up the door for us to be focused on Him, on loving Him, and being thankful for the opportunity to serve Him no matter what happens.
Yeah, and if there are, like, you know, I lost Judy, my wife Judy, and other people that have lost a loved one, you know, there's a big void. And I talked to a pastor at a conference, and he said, Rudy, God will fill that void in your life. So, you know, that was so comforting to hear that, you know, because you feel like, wow, you know, nothing's ever going to replace Judy, and you know, but God will find, you know, He'll put something in your life to fill that void, to make your life, you know, meaningful, living for Him.
Yeah, you're always going to miss her, and that's true, but you still have the opportunity to serve Jesus and focus on Him, you know, and knowing that, you know, one day you'll be able to see her again, that could help you through the hard times as well. Being when you're sad that she's passed away, you can be thankful to God in that situation, knowing that you'll be able to see her again in heaven.
Yeah. You know, before you called in, I read the story of the 10 lepers, one of my favorite stories. It's kind of like how the world is. Because 10 lepers cried out to Jesus to be cured of their disease. And so Jesus cured them all, but yet only one came back, and he was a foreigner, he was a Samaritan, and only one came back to thank Him and praise Him. And Jesus said, weren't there 10 of you? And I was just kind of commenting that, isn't that how life is? You know, you have the people that are, you know, that are so thankful, and, you know, and they'll praise God when you know, blessings and good things happen in their life. And yet they're like you had said earlier, like a lot of people, they just take for granted, you know, when that blessing, you know, comes from God.
Yeah, Christianity is not really a religion like other religions where it's about following rules and this. It's really a love relationship with God. He created us. He loves us. He loves us so much. He sent us Son to die for our sins. He loves us so much. He wants us to be with Him forever. And He wants us to love Him back. And that's really what it stems from. Do we want to love Him back, to give Him our trust Him with our lives and to love Him back? And the 9 out of 10 people just not really being that thankful. I'm sure when they were healed, they're like, this is awesome. But they didn't really want to give anything back in return. Does that make sense? So it's like they're glad they got something nice, but God's not like a genie in a bottle where we just try to get nice things out of Him and then don't love Him and don't be thankful to Him. That's not the relationship God is looking for. He wants us to love Him and be thankful to Him. And we show that, Jesus says, but if you love me, you keep my commandments. So we do it just not to follow a list of rules. We do it to show Him that we love Him. And we could always be thankful, no matter what's going on in our life, that Jesus died for us. You know, I think hell is horrible, and no one wants to go there. And just that every day that you wake up as a Christian, knowing that no matter what happens to me, I'll go to be with Jesus when I die. You could be thankful for that, if not, you know, even if everything else seems gloomy.
Yeah, well, Paul said, right, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Yeah, no matter, it's the old saying, it's a win-win situation, Dave, right? Jesus, you always win, either way. Yeah, Judy right now is in heaven, and she's a big winner, even though we miss her, but right now, I couldn't imagine how beautiful and how happy she is right now.
Yeah, she's having a better time than we are.
Yeah, what was that one, I think you mentioned it, last show or the show before, you said 100% of the people in heaven. Remember you had that one saying, I like that one you had mentioned. Remember?
Like 100% of the people that choose to give their life for Jesus will never regret it. Even though there's some days in our life that's harder to live for Jesus than to just be scrambled and selfish and live for ourselves. But 100% of people that give their life to Jesus will never regret it. And 100% of people that choose to deny Jesus will regret it one day, even though they don't realize it now. So it's like, you can give thanks to the Lord, love Him, give Him your life, and one day you'll be with Him forever in paradise. So no Christian that gives their life to Jesus, no matter how hard their life is, they could be thankful because one day they're going to be with God forever. And so there's no one that's going to regret it when they, a Christian that dies and opens their eyes again and they're in paradise with God. Nope, no one's going to regret that, believe me.
Yeah. And so the, a lot of the people of the world remember the name. He's the guy that he has the movie cable station. Anyway, he said that he wouldn't want to go to heaven. And but this is from someone that truly doesn't you know, have Christ in his heart. He said, I wouldn't want to go to heaven. It'd be too boring. He says, I'd rather go to hell and help people. And I said, oh my God, you know, that's where you really don't understand, you know, that relationship, that loving relationship that we have with Jesus, and that when we, you know, get to heaven, it'll be just so much more awesome. And people with their own mind and
scary. It's scary that someone would make a decision on their eternal life, that, you know, a lot of people don't really understand who Jesus is and how much he loves them, but they just hear like bits and pieces. I think they've heard enough to realize that Christians teach you have to believe in Jesus to be saved, but they also see a lot of weird stuff like cartoons where, like, you know, the cats are on a cloud playing the harp or something like that. So a lot of people see heaven as something boring, you know, just floating in the clouds playing some boring music, and nothing could be really further from the truth. The scriptures say that everything's like new in heaven. He recreates everything. Everything's awesome all the time. And it's just a place where we serve God. You know, you think about the Garden of Eden, we'll all serve Jesus. We're not going to be sitting around, you know, sitting around all the time bored. There's absolutely no way that's true. It's going to be like a zillion times more awesome than anything you could ever do on the earth. So it's sad that someone would think that heaven's going to be boring. They obviously haven't, you know, studied the scriptures enough.
Yeah, I think you had mentioned, it might have been last week, where you said that the Garden of Eden will be restored. That fellowship that Adam and Eve had with the Lord, where they would walk and talk with the Lord in the cool of the night, and, you know, and just enjoy fellowship with God, you know. And so, you know, when we're in heaven, we'll have that fellowship restored. And to me, that is just an awesome thought. And the gentleman that I was thinking about was Ted Turner. So,
it's awesome to think about. There's something to be thankful for. That, oh, who screwed up in the Garden of Eden? Oh, people. Oh, who sins every day, all the time? People. Oh, who loves us enough to save us? God. Enough to send his own son to die for us. That's how much he loves us. And those that believe in him, it will be part of his restored kingdom. You know, he's going to recreate the, you know, when we die, we go to be with the Lord immediately. You know, like Jesus says, the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And when Stephen was being stoned to death and he saw Jesus standing up as though to embrace him right away, he was going to see him right away, you know. But then, you know, once Jesus comes back, he's going to recreate the heavens and the earth. So it's like a more awesome version of the world now, minus the sin. So people think that's going to be boring. That's crazy. Think about all the beautiful things in the world now. Imagine a world without sin. How beautiful that'll be.
Yeah. And say in Romans 1 that creation itself moans and groans to be restored to what it was. All of creation, you know, the animals, the plants, everything will be restored to that perfect, you know, that perfect garden, that perfect world that that we messed up. So,
yeah, think about how much people messed up, and we could be thankful. If you're feeling unthankful one day, you could be thankful that God didn't give up on us by now. He could have easily just said, you know, forget about them. They don't really love me. They don't really care about me. All they do is sin all the time. But he's so loving that he didn't do that. He sent Jesus instead, did the opposite of giving up on us. He gave us a way to save us through Jesus.
Go ahead, Dave.
No, that was it.
I was thinking about the story of Abraham and Isaac, and because I thought of how Jesus, he was you know, testing Abraham to take his son and sacrifice him. That was, you know, the son that, you know, that he had waited for till he was in his, and so now he was being required, were asked by God to take his son and to sacrifice him. And then, you know, how the Lord stopped Abraham, you know, but he counted Abraham as faithful, and yet God himself, the Lord the Father, was willing to have his one and only beloved son you know, murdered on the cross. And how, I don't know, I just was thinking how awesome that is. How much he loves us.
That's a great love, man. Imagine how sad that'd be to send your own son to die. And obviously Jesus is going to rise again from the dead, but it doesn't change the fact of how sad it is that he had to take on the punishment that he didn't deserve for us. If anyone deserves our thanks and our love, it's Jesus, right? And it's really a cool story about Abraham and Isaac too. Isaac is actually a little bit older in that story than a lot of people portray him. And the fact that he was willing to just lay there on the pile and not fight back, that's an amazing testimony for him. And then Hebrews says that Abraham believed in God so much in his promise. God had already promised him that he would, you know, have multiple generations as the stars. You know, and he believed that Isaac was the promised child. So he had believed, even if God made him go through with killing him, that God was going to just rise him back from the dead. That's how much faith that Abraham had in God. So it's pretty cool. And God really wants us to have that kind of faith in God that, you know, no matter what it seems we're going through, no matter what we're called to do or how hard it is, to be thankful to God and to trust God and have faith in God and love God. And Abraham is such an awesome example. And Isaac, too.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine if, you know, your father kind of took you for a walk in the woods and then all of a sudden, you know, he's going to put you there?
Yeah. What's going on here?
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. This isn't what I, you know, this is what I was, I didn't think this was going to happen. Hold on a minute.
Yeah. I think God encourages us to always have a thankful heart, because I think a lot of times if we have that negative heart, then as soon as something goes wrong, we want to give up and turn away. And a lot of people that kind of half-heartedly say that they want to believe in God, as soon as something bad happens, they want to turn tail and go away, and God says, no, don't do that. Be thankful. Think about what Jesus did for you. Think about all the blessings in your life. Don't think about this negative thing only. You know, God wants us to persevere, and a thankful heart will really help us to do that.
And yet, God is patient with us. Many years ago, when my father died, you know, I had a small faith in God, and I was. And because, you know, I begged that my father wouldn't die, I actually ran away from God, and he was patient, It took about 25 years, but he got me back, Dave, and
Yeah.
my faith became stronger than ever, and for that I thank the Lord, and I praise Him.
Yeah. That's something to be thankful too for also, is God's patient with us, and that God goes out to get us, you know. God calls out to our hearts, and wherever the listeners are in their life, want them to know that God loves them, and God wants them to believe in Him. God wants them to know that He loves them, and God wants them to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and to live a life of love and thankfulness, and follow Him. And it's like you said, you know, no matter where you are, you know, you can be saved by just believing in Jesus. And a lot of people say, well, I'm kind of scrambled up right now. Once I straighten out my life, I'll start going to church or start thinking about believing in God. But that's really kind of backwards thinking, because it's only God that can really change us. So God says, come to me where you are, and He'll take you in, and then He'll begin to transform your heart. So if you're looking to better yourself before you go to the Lord, then that's just not going to work. The better plan is to give your life to Jesus and say, I'll do whatever you want, and then let Him change you.
Yeah, and if you think about it, Dave, anyone, you know, you take a person in their old ways, you know, the ways of the world, whatever sins they have. You know, I'm not here to, you know, talk about one type of life or another, but the fact that God will, you come to faith, right? You give your heart to Jesus, and then as time goes on, you change. God transforms you. And say if you saw a friend about 3-4 years ago, and then you got disconnected and you hadn't seen them in 3-4 years, and in the meantime, Dave, you became a born again Christian, and all of a sudden God start working in your life, you know, you read His word and you start being transformed, and then all of a sudden your friend comes back 3 years later and say, man, what happened to you, crabby old Rudy? You used to swear and drink a lot, or whatever you were, you know, sins you were into, and now you're this guy that, you know, I never hear a swear word anymore. You have this big smile, this big joyful smile on your face all the time. You look like you care about people more than yourself. What happened to you? And then you go, well, it's the Lord. He changed me. I gave my life to Him.
So you could always be thankful to God for saving you. You could always be thankful to God for changing you. You could always be thankful to God for even just giving you a life. You know, God didn't have to give us life. We could have just never existed. So we just thank God for being alive. Thank God for family, friends, loved ones. You know, even if our life is lonely and a lot of bad things, there's still a chance to be saved by Jesus. And that alone is worth being thankful for. Even if everything in our life is terrible, but we have Jesus, we're better off than any people that have everything in this world and don't have Jesus. So there's always something to be thankful for, and it's always God that we should be thankful for, because the real things that are important in life are through Him.
Amen to that. Yeah, good words.
Well, all right, brother. I think you probably got to close down the show, so I don't want to get in the way of that. But it was good talking to you as usual, Dad. And
thank you for calling in on a Friday. You know, I had a little technical problems yesterday, but so we persisted,
No problem. And then I just pray for the listeners that they'll be thankful to God if they're believers, and if they're not, that they give Jesus their life. And I guarantee to them with 100% certainty that they will be thankful that they did, because it's awesome. It's not easy to live for Jesus, but it's awesome. And it gets even more awesome once this life is over and you move on to the next with Him. So you guys have a good night, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay, and I'm thankful to God for you, Dave. Have a good night.
Yeah, I'm thankful to you and thankful for Rick to help you with the show. He's doing a good job with that. So good job, Rick, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Okay. Take care, my son. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That was my son, Dave. He's my official co-host. And Dave, being a youth minister, he's down in Fort Worth, Texas. And he does a wonderful job with the young believers. And he always has a heart for the Lord. The gospel is always on his heart. He always wants to share the good news. And so I'm going to give, I got a little time left. So if someone would like to call in, we've got about 5-6 more minutes. So I'd love to hear from somebody. Again, I'll give that number, 347-989-0095. Love to hear your story. We've got so much to be thankful for, and maybe there's something you want to share with the listeners. That would be awesome. You know, before I was talking about the 10 lepers, and only one of the 10 thanked and praised the Lord. I have a few questions for you. Are you thankful to Jesus for dying for your sins? Are you living a life that's praising Him? Like my son and I were talking, there's so much to be thankful for. God has blessed us. Living in this country, we've had so many blessings, and maybe sometimes we just take it for granted. But again, we have a wonderful Savior, Jesus. He loves you. And if you haven't given your heart to the Lord, like it says in the Bible, today is the day of salvation. Yesterday is a canceled check, and tomorrow is a promissory note. So all we have is today. So if tonight, you know, your life right now, you believe in God, you've come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He was sent to earth to die for our sins. Today would be, or right now would be a great time to give your life to Jesus. Repent, be sorry for your sins. Ask Jesus into your heart and say, Lord, I want you to be my Savior and I want to walk with you. And so if you pray that prayer, you started your walk with the Lord, and then you can go and hopefully have a Bible, read God's Word. Place to start would be the Gospel of John, which talks about Jesus and His divinity. And find yourself a good Bible-believing church, and make good Christian friends, so you can have this strong Christian friendships going on in your life. And like Jesus said, 100% guaranteed that 100% guaranteed that when you get to heaven, that you'll be so happy that you chose Jesus. Like my website says, no better way. There's no better way than to follow Jesus. Well, Dave had so much good to say about being thankful. And being thankful in how we live our lives, and being thankful that we have a loving God. And another thing I want to be thankful for is I want to thank my son, Rick, because it seems like every time he's not around, I have technical problems. And he's here tonight, and everything is going smooth. So thank you, Rick.
You're welcome, Dad.
Okay. And there's, I was thinking about so many gifts that were given in our life, giving you talents. You know, he might have given you a talent to be a great computer technician, or he might have given you the talent to be a wonderful writer, or maybe a musician, or maybe an athlete, or maybe someone that was looking to become a minister. But whatever that gift, maybe that he might have given you, what a great way to express your gratitude, your thankfulness to the Lord by using that gift to serve him. And so if you have some gifts and right now, you know, you're not using them to serve the Lord, maybe there's something that you can really, you know, show your gratitude to the Lord by taking that gift that he's given you and using it and blessing others with. I'm going to read a psalm. It's just the first two verses of Psalm 92, and it says, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night." So, right there, David's telling, you know, he's writing, the Holy Spirit's moving him, and he's just saying that, you know, our praise, our thankfulness should be from the minute we wake up in the morning to the moment we go and put our head on the pillow and go to sleep. We should always have that thankful heart, living a thankful life, living a life that's praising the Lord. Well, I was hoping for a few more callers, I think at this point, I got a couple more minutes for the show, so I'm gonna close in prayer, and then I'm gonna play the closing song, which will be "Amazing Grace." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, we give you thanks. We thank you for your Son Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice that he laid down his life for us. He died the brutal death on the cross. He paid for our sins. The Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. And Lord, we thank you for that. But the third day, he rose again from the dead. And so death could not hold Jesus down. Death could not hold the Son of God down. And so we're promised that same promise one day, that we too, as we live in faith in Jesus, if we die, and we will unless Christ returns, that we too will rise from the dead and we'll all proclaim victory. Amen. Alleluia. And Lord, I just pray that you bless all those that listen to this show. And I pray if they have a heart to serve you, Lord, they serve you with gratitude and thankfulness and praise you every moment of their lives. And in this, I'm thankful for this show, and I'm thankful that I'm able to just serve you, Lord. And I pray blessings upon all the folks out there listening. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And now I'm going to close with the song, "Amazing Grace."